Hey, Tuneheads. Before we get into the episode, I want to share a comment over on YouTube that I thought was really fun regarding the previous episode, favorite Ed, Edd n Eddy episodes. Cartoon Network 90s fan, love the username by the way, writes, 1 plus 1 equals Ed is my all-time favorite Ed, Edd n Eddy episode. My favorite part is where Eddie takes off Sarah's mouth and they somehow ended up in Kevin's eye. Thank you so much for writing that comment, Cartoon Network 90s fan. I agree with you. That was a lot of fun to see because it got pretty twisted, but also I think everyone who's a fan of Ed, Edd n Eddy realizes that Sarah and Kevin are universally hated, so to get some sort of weird prank being pulled on them as Ed's breakdown reality was a delight to see. What about you guys, Tuneheads? Do you have any thoughts to weigh in on Ed, Edd n Eddy or any of the other episodes? Make some comments over on social media or YouTube or email me, and I'll share them once in a while before episodes as they pop up. All right, with that out of the way, let's get into the main topic of today.
Okay, let's practice bad places.
No play.
And now, my show and tell for today, my pal Bag. Bag, my show and tell of the day. That's okay, Bag. We're gonna keep working until you feel braver. Trust me, today you're a shy little Bag, but tomorrow you're gonna go out there and be a star!
Welcome to Check Your Childhood, a classic Cartoon Network podcast covering many, many years of Cartoon Network's history.
I'm Mouse.
I'm Funky. I'm Fred.
Hi, the Powerpuff Girls.
Not now, boy. I'm busy. Tonight's the third night.
Come along and play with me, Tuneheads. It's your host, B-Dubs. And this is Check Your Childhood, a classic Cartoon Network podcast dedicated to all things animation from the 1990s and early 2000s. Today, we're taking a look at a rare live-action TV show carving its niche on Cartoon Network long before CN Real was a thing. Ooh. Let's never mention that dark time of Cartoon Network on this podcast again. But don't worry, this show is kid-friendly and has a dozen cartoons packed into its lively, sentient bag of tricks, among many other things. I'm talking about, of course, Big Bag, a show of its own breed, complete with a patchwork puppet pal named Chelly. Ready to use your imaginations? Pull out your sock puppets and cardboard tubes at home so we can brainstorm a nostalgic adventure together. Before we get into the story surrounding Big Bag, here's a quick rundown of all the basic info you need to know that made the show happen on our favorite Checker channel. So its air dates are from June 2nd to 1996 to May 11th, 1998. It ran for two seasons with 39 episodes, where it broke down with 13 being in season 1 and 26 being in season 2. It was created by Nina Elias Bamberger with the help of Turner Broadcasting Company, the Jim Henson Company, and the Children's Television Workshop. It was written by Gary Cooper, Annie Evans, Christine Ferraro, Shelly Fish, Donna Harmon, Alan Neuwirth, and Adam Rudman. And it was developed by Alan Neuwirth, who is an animation veteran who co-wrote for The Wubbiest World of Dr. Seuss, and later on Courage the Cowardly Dog with David Stephen Cohen. There was also Gary Cooper and Lou Berger who developed it, who both have extensive experience working on dozens of children's puppet-based shows, including Between the Lines and The Big Kahuna itself, Sesame Street. Primary directors are Emily Squires and Yoram Gross, though it varies widely per episode and animated shorts, so it's a little harder to pin down overall. The music is by Kathy Summers, and the show features the puppetry talents of Joey Mazzarino, who operate Chelly and Lyle, Ricky Boyd, who operate Argyle and Bag, Jeff Conover, who assists for operating Lyle and Chelly, and Alice Dinian, who operates Sophie. Here are the origins and development of Big Bag. Cartoon Network by this time was in full swing of converting their fan favorite What a Cartoons into series, with Dexter's Lab being the first to launch its own show away from the anthology format. However, Ted Turner saw an opportunity to expand viewership beyond the market he already cornered and branch out to meet its network's educational quota. This time, he turned to the coveted preschool audience, one already secured by the likes of Sesame Street, Gullah Gullah Island, The Puzzle Place, and Lamb Chop's Play Along, all of which were top of the charts in preschool toddler viewership of the 90s cable TV era. Enter Nina Elias Bamberger, a Worcester, Massachusetts native known for producing Dragon Tales, Williams Wish Wellingtons, and various Sesame Street projects, including the Jewish offshoot Shalom Sesame, an English interpretation of Rechov Sumsum, intended to teach kids more about the faith of Judaism. Teaming up with the likes of Jim Henson and his puppeteering crew, the group quickly sprang into production. The show premiered on June 2nd, 1996 at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to kids who spent their days in diapers playing with toys, as well as toddlers looking to TV for answers about the curious world around them. The show was filmed at Disney MGM Studios in Orlando, Florida, and centers around a young woman named Molly, who's played by Selena Nelson, who runs, owns, and lives in a rural neighborhood general store at Main Street, USA, with her puppet pals Chelly, sock buddies Lyle and Argyle, Bag, and later on Sophie. Chelly is a patchwork dog, by the way, and Bag is, well, a white tote bag with a purple handle on it. And Sophie's just a normal kind of gal who loves to have fun. They just moved here, so they're eager to make new friends and share ideas that could spark fun and learning with others. The building has a vibrant, colorful toy chest appearance to it, often accented by antique curios, grandma's quilt coverings, and the like. They chat with friends, they play games, they throw parties, and they do all sorts of activities together while learning a few life lessons about good morals along the way.
Oh, Molly, these are so great!
Yeah! Well, I'm glad you like them, and I hope you have lots of fun sharing them with all your friends.
What I love about this show is, despite feeling a bit cheesy by today's standards, it presents itself through a wholesome, creativity-promoting lens, one kids and parents alike can appreciate when looking for quality children's television. Originally, the show ran hour-long commercial-free episodes during its first season on Sundays. But in efforts to reach a broader audience, the show was reduced to just a half hour, still with commercial-free programming, which is wild to think about, and ran on weekday mornings with blocks eventually ending on Sundays again, just at a later time. Good on the creators for doing this, so the kids can focus on learning rather than buying shiny new toys and the like. In a typical episode of the show, Chelly would find an activity to do with Bag, Lyle, Argyle, and Molly, whether it be putting on a rock concert or just throwing a birthday party for a friend, and would often encourage viewers at home when breaking the fourth wall to participate along with them too. Sometimes he'd tell kids at home to get a cardboard tube to help them blow out candles, or even just put on a party hat and make some noise with spoons on a drum, anything to encourage being a part of the daily Big Bag experience. This format of plot would often be replicated in other children's shows at the time, especially the smash hit Blue's Clues over on Nick Jr., where Steve would ask the audience at home for their input before recording clues in his notebook. Occasionally, we'd see random kids around the ages 5 to 12 come in and join in on the fun, who turned out to be local child actors in the Orlando area. They'd entered from the outside the general store to see what the Muppets were up to, and while most of them varied per episode, one particular girl, an Asian kid named Kim, would repeatedly appear to ask Bag and Chelly questions about what they are doing and why.
See the beautiful apple?
Oh, hi, Bag. I almost didn't know it was you. What are you doing with all those sticks hanging out of you?
On occasion, a quirky adult who was friends with Molly would enter the set too, so they could either share a message about friendship, let everyone know about a fun event coming up in town, or just showing something fun and exciting to the kids as an incentive to get up and move around with the characters on TV.
Molly, do you realize you have an elephant in the store?
I know. I just woke up this morning and there it was.
Is he a friendly elephant?
Oh, very.
Oh, good.
In season one, adults like Crossing Guard Bernard, Veterinarian Doc Furball, Mail Carrier Josie, Shy Martha, Exercise Instructor Trudy, and wacky inventor Waldo added to the exhilarating energy of the show.
Who's that landlubber?
It is I, Waldo Muckle, inventor extraordinaire. Guess what my new invention is?
Well, that looks like the thing Molly serves salad with.
Oh, yes, it looks like the thing Molly serves salad with.
But it's not!
However, producers felt there were too many characters to keep track of. So by season two, they eliminated all the additional adult characters and instead opted for a new humanoid Muppet friend named Sophie to accompany Bag, Chelly, and Molly in the general store.
Ooh, Chelly, you get to be storekeeper? That is so cool!
Oddly enough, all these villagers were actually played by just two people. I found out that Cullen Douglas played all the male characters, while Claire Sarah played all the female characters, the latter also being a writer on the show. While the people count was severely reduced, kids and adults alike, we did get an occasional human cast appearance in season two. Most notably, Molly's mother, who is played by Emmy/Tony Award-winning actress Nell Carter. Before I get too deep in these wraparound segments of Big Bag, there's more to the show than just puppets having a good time. There are also animation shorts thrown into the mix, thanks to Bag's, well, bag full of tricks. I knew there was a catch. It is Cartoon Network enough to be on Cartoon Network after all. Since you might want to know what kinds of tunes aired on Big Bag, here's a rundown of all the shorts appearing across the two seasons of the show. Starting off, we have a couple that aired during both seasons, with Koki, which was a claymation short featuring a young female chicken and her family living in an avian populated town. They also have a pet turtle, and they have typical adventures centering around helping friends and family, or just doing chores in a fun new way. There's also Troubles the Cat that was on for both seasons, and is known for being the first original Latino animated short made in the US, according to Wikipedia anyways. The short features a tiger-looking house cat who uses her magic spyglass to see how other characters are really feeling whenever conflict or problems arise. She often talks to the viewer too to encourage them to help her solve the other characters' problems and end the shorts on a high note. Such an example would be like finding Daniel's silver dollar that Marina lost, or simply teaching friends to share their new things, like a sled, rather than just showing it off themselves and bragging. It is marked by a unique art style, reminiscent of murals, with thick, wavy black lines accented by flat yet bold colors. Moving on to the exclusives per season, we have Nina and Samuel, featuring a cheerful blue dog and a polite gray squirrel duo, who are boy and girl respectively. And they go on adventures to help their owner and townspeople using their imaginations. The standout gimmick of this short features Samuel the dog twirling his hat into one tied to a profession whenever he wants to assume a role to help others or share a life lesson. Be it like a motorboard for a teacher, a marching band leader hat, or even a chef's hat. We also have Slim Pig from just season one, where there's a paper-thin pig and his four pig siblings who live on a farm and go on adventures to help other animals, like visiting a circus or flying a kite. Pretty straightforward, and it's just simple good fun. Oddly, he's the only 2D flat character reminiscent of Paper Mario in the series, which I didn't go deep into it, but I'm kind of curious why he's the only pig who acts and functions like this way. Do you tune heads at home know any more about this? Because I'm genuinely curious. There's also the season one exclusive Tobias Tots and his lion, which rarely appeared on Big Bag, but featured a zookeeper who was very in tune with his animals, almost like an animal whisperer of sorts. His best friend was one of the lions at the zoo. Apparently, the shorts culminated into a feature-length animated film in 1999, where the zookeeper searches for a lioness for his lonely lion buddy. Sounds interesting. We also have, concluding with the season one exclusives, William's Wish Wellingtons, which is the only Big Bag animated short narrated by Andrew Sachs, of all people. It originally aired on BBC from 1994 to 1996, so it was fresh off the boat when it became a part of the show. It was 2D animated with watercolor backgrounds to evoke a children's book feeling. And while William never speaks outright, he uses his red rain boots similar to Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz to solve tricky predicaments along his adventures journeys. And rounding things out with the season 2 exclusive, we have Ace and Avery, which is made by John R. Dilworth before his Courage the Cowardly Dog days, when he was working alongside with Sesame Street doing animated work. This short is marked by a purple boy who just wears shoes, with red hair and glasses, and his green raccoon friend, who do silly stuff throughout their day with friends. They wave their arms, they jump around, they play follow the leader, or they just play some bagpipes for fun. If you want to see any of these shorts more up close and get the feel of them for yourself, you can watch any of them individually or as part of the full and partial Big Bag episodes over on the unofficial YouTube channel, Big Bag 9. Before we move on to some merchandise that I found tied to Big Bag, I do want to note one special occasion, one unique episode among the 39 that I have found in this Lost Media title. While there aren't any major episodes that deviate from the typical Big Bag formula, this one would be the exception. Devin Clash, who's most well-known for being Elmo's creator and puppeteer on Sesame Street, was actually a creative consultant for Big Bag. Considering the show's roots from the popular PBS show, it only seemed natural for Elmo to pay Chelly, Bag, Molly, and Pals a visit. Elmo joins Big Bag's gang in an episode of the show called Simply Elmo's Visit.
Elmo? Chelly? Pam-Pam!
It's so great to finally meet you, Elmo! I got all my best toys out so we can play all day together!
Oh, good!
But first, I want you to meet my friends.
Where is revealed that Chelly and Elmo are actually pen pals. And this implies to fans and viewers alike that both shows and characters are part of the same Muppet universe. How cool! Unexpectedly, Elmo takes a liking to everyone else at the general store, especially Bag with all the unique things that he can do. And Chelly feels a little bit left out as a result. Through song and dance and the magic of understanding, they end up exploring their friendship together, reminding us all at the heart of true relationships is love, something that Elmo is certainly well known for. This episode aired on April 14, 1997, as Season 2, Episode 19 of the series. So if you want to dig it up, you can find it that way, or find it on the Big Bag channel, too. It goes without saying many of the crew previously worked on Sesame Street and related products, so it's evident to see how all these crew members hopped around from show to show to apply their knowledge and charm to make each one special. Joey Mazzarino, for example, voiced and puppeted Flexi on Nick Jr.'s series of shorts entitled Little Big Room, while Joey Album often lent his animation expertise for creating fun, colorful effects and graphics on shows like Clarissa Explains It All, Eureka's Castle, and especially on Sesame Street. So it's nice to see a core group of people who like to work with each other on different projects, with a few new faces added into the mix. While the series is rather short-lived, very much like Two Stupid Dogs and SWAT Cats with the two-season limit, it did enjoy reruns on Cartoon Network until March of 2001, then moving to other related channels to better suit its preschool demographic, such as Noggin. It even later came back under Cartoon Network's Tickle You programming block, airing from 2005 to 2006 at the end of the CN City era. Today, the show is considered partially lost media, but can be mostly found on YouTube videos under the Big Bag channel or even on the Internet Archive. So if you want to learn more, watch those, or you could even buy some tapes on eBay. Speaking of tapes, we have a few interesting bits of merchandise that Big Bag came out with during its existence in the 90s. There are several VHS tapes that I found, mostly from 1998, and they're pretty simple titled, and they have bright colors on their covers. We have the Dance With Us one, where it's centered around dancing, and has an orange with green trim cover. We have Explore With Us, which is a blue VHS tape with red trim, all about adventures. Share With Us, pretty self-explanatory, with a yellow cover with blue trim. Imagine With Us, which is green with orange trim, and is all about playing pretend and coming up with ideas. And lastly, we have Sing With Us, which is more magenta colored with a goldenrod trim. These videos go upwards of $35 to $50 on eBay, so if you're really into nostalgia for this niche show, grab them up while you still can. There's also golden books of the show, plenty about, too many to name here, but some of them I came across have names like Chelly's Book of Disguises and Chelly's Silly Day, and Chelly the Great Explorer. So it's clear to see that Chelly's the star of most of these stories, with Bag occasionally lending a hand. I also found this unique song button book where it's got like these vinyl buttons on the side that you just press in, and there's like a little speaker at the bottom corner and it makes sound bites of the different characters. I didn't catch the name of it, but it looks really unique and very reminiscent of the time when there were certain children's book gimmicks that were produced to get young kids' attention and promote interactivity. So that's worth checking out too. We also have the rare Chelly plush doll by Tuco. And while it is based off of the main character of the show, its proportions are a little bit off, often more shrunken than what we see with the actual real life size Muppet. Still, if you're a collector and a fan of the show, it's worth looking for online. I also managed to find a Big Bag production tote bag, which going for upwards of $50 on eBay, and it's pretty simple. It's a basic canvas tote bag, white, with the Big Bag logo on the front and Children's Television Workshop written in blue font on the back. And lastly, this is probably the weirdest one of them all, at least to me. I found a PVC pencil topper made in 1996. And the reason why it stood out to me so much is because I couldn't find toppers of any of the other characters. But the way Chelly's eyes looks in this, it's both derpy and nightmarish at the same time. I'll have to put a link in the episode description for you so you can check it out for yourself and make a judgment of whether or not it's nightmare fuel. So with all these aspects of Big Bag being covered, what are my memories of this cacophony of creativity? Well, for one, I absolutely love the theme song. It's super catchy, bright, and playful. It's something that occasionally pops into my head while I go for a walk or do something artsy at home. I didn't watch this show on my own, though, when it first came out. In truth, my baby brother, who was born in 1996, and I watched it together. And we enjoyed a few of the reruns and the second season back when it was new, because he was too young to remember it during its season one debut. Chelly was indeed a fun character to watch, and I remember Ace and Avery and Troubles the Cat the most from the show, due to their unique animation art styles, which tracks because they're both from season two. Season one is a bit more of a blur to me, but I do recall William's Wish Wellingtons, along with Nina and Samuel, as well as Cokie, who had a bit of a grating theme song for me to sit through an entire episode. But it's still fun if you put it on mute. Cokie definitely remind me of the Gumby shorts that I would catch early on TV on Sundays. And Troubles the Cat had this unique art style that reminded me of some shorts I would see on Nickelodeon. And I was all about like just how different cartoons will look and catch my attention whenever I was channel flipping. So I was able to appreciate these shorts as a result. And of course, because I'm a huge fan of Courage the Cowardly Dog and Ace and Avery is kind of derivative of that show, I enjoy watching it on occasion too, even if the plots were a bit rudimentary for my age level. I would say out of the Big Bag segments, the wraparound segments themselves, I would have to pinpoint the episode where Lyle talks to his lost brother, Scotty McSock, over the phone as being a highlight episode that sticks in my memory. I thought it was interesting how they were separated despite being a pair of siblings, due to the fact that they got separated in a laundromat and some static cling caused Scotty to stick to a sweater that made him end up in Scotland for some reason. I do also appreciate how all the other characters, especially Lyle with his pun jokes, did their best to cheer Argyle up, as being apart from his brother enveloped him with melancholy for most of the episode, and it really hit home with those deep feelings of sadness when you miss someone you love, especially if they're related to you. So it was a sobering topic for the show to cover, and I appreciate the effort for them to stretch out of their happy-go-lucky comfort zone. So with everything being said, why does Big Bag from Cartoon Network matter? Well, with Cartoon Network expanding its audience to reach multiple age groups and even cultures across multiple countries, it only seemed natural to experiment with making a Muppet-influenced show aimed at younger kids on this channel. If the Checker Channel wanted to stay relevant, after all, they need to keep moving forward and making fresh content, serving audiences of all sorts of ages and cultural backgrounds, not just for the Hanna-Barbera boomers that we've all come to know in the first episode of this podcast. Truth be told, we need TV shows like this to promote learning and healthy states of well-being for young kids. While there are shows, games, and YouTube videos today filling that void for children's entertainment, there also runs the risk of kids becoming too attached to the devices they watch on, and the quality of children's entertainment varying wildly and not actually teaching them anything while keeping them distracted. And this is due to the fact that television is no longer a primary congregation point for family entertainment like it was decades ago. Also, because this is considered a partial lost media show, it does help to bring awareness to the rest of the internet by doing retrospectives like this, or at least shining a light upon it, so that not only people who watch the show can bond over it again, but those who have recordings of it can also band together to preserve its legacy, much like fans did of Mystery Science Theater 3000 before it became popular again. Whether it be home recorded or official VHS releases, it does help to have as much content of Big Bag preserved and remembered by generations who grew up with it for future generations to come. Sometimes it pays to be different, as long as you believe in what you're doing. And on that note, it does remind me of a quote that Kevin Clash mentioned when portraying Elmo around this time. He mentions that if everyone else your age is doing something very different than what you're doing, there's always going to be someone saying to you that you might not succeed with it. You might not make any money with that. There's always going to be some type of obstacle in the way. All those things will go away, though, if you really focus on what makes you happy. And I feel like even with this podcast or my personal creative endeavors, that can still ring true if we remain persistent and faithful in what we're doing. All right, guys, I think we're going to head on out from the Big Bag General Store and put our cardboard tubes away for now. But before we go, here's a question for you to ponder. Did you ever sing, dance, or play along with Big Bag as a kid? If so, what would you do and why was it fun? Email me at checkyourchildhood@gmail.com, or you can comment on this episode on YouTube or any podcast platform that allows commenting. If you did enjoy this episode, you can also rate and review this podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to it on your preferred podcast platforms. It also helps if you tell a friend about this too, to help train the algorithms that run all these social media platforms to put more Check Your Childhood in the face of Cartoon Network fans. So it'd be a great help if you're able to spread the word too, wherever you can. All right, check in next time when we get to know one of our favorite cartoon creators who got a start on Dexter's Lab before making his own smash hit Cartoon Network shows of his own. Just who will we be talking about? It's not who you think. But if you know him truly, he is dying to open a can of whoop-ass on some urban evildoers. You can listen to episode 10 next time to find out more. Thank you, fellow Toonheads, for being here today. It truly was a fun, joyful time to reminisce about the show and share these checkered childhood memories with you. I hope, like best friends, we'll do it again soon, and whatever you can to do to chime in, I would be more than happy to share what you feel about this podcast and these episode topics with our fellow listeners. With that being said, it's time to get back to the drawing board. I heard we have to finish these pencil tests of Dexter so we can air the show. Gendy, can you take a look at these to see if it works? Hopefully, Dexter moves the right way. Have a tunerific day, my friends. Later.
Ever rocked and rolled, Jelly and Ben. Yeah! Thank you. Thank you. Hey, gang, we're pretending to be cool rock stars today. Just call me a red hot chili pepper.